Turn to Acts. Tuesday night we looked at some stuff in the Old Testament, and the word testimony or witness came up concerning the stone tablets. The stone tablets were called the testimonies of God. But it can also, the same word can be translated witness. So I started to think about what are witnesses. And so we're going to look at Acts. You are all familiar with this. In verse 1 it says, the former treatise. Did I tell you chapter 1?
No.
Okay, Steve, chapter 1.
Thank you. I speak personal.
Well, sort of. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And of course, Theophilus, you know, some people think it was a person, but we were always taught that it means beloved of God. So, Theo and however you say it, Theophilus, you know, from Philadelphia, you know, love. Okay, so loved of God. So anyway, the former treatise would be the book of Luke, which he wrote previously about all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the apostles he had chosen were 12, right? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's addressing the 12 apostles, and then he says, it says that after his passion and they saw him alive, you know, after he died and was resurrected, they were with him for 40 days and they had many infallible or indisputable proofs that he was alive. So, interesting. And he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So that's a commandment that he gave. That's one of the commandments. Tarry you and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which he had previously instructed them about, the receiving of Holy Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So he's telling them why they're waiting in Jerusalem, right? When they therefore were come together, they asked him of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You know, and that's kind of a logical question for them, because he had been teaching them about the kingdom. The promise from God was that the throne of David would be forever, and that God would put the Messiah on that throne forever. So they just said, okay, well, when's this going to happen? Because he's, you know, resurrected from the dead. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his own power. And, you know, if you know that verse and have it locked into your mind, you can never get fooled by these people, these idiots that run around saying, we figured out when he's coming back. And there are people out there that think that. And get tricked, and you know, it's just idiotic, because nobody knows. And it says Jesus Christ said nobody knows, and he would know better than anybody. Then it says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You will be witnesses. But it follows with, you shall receive power. You shall receive that Holy Spirit, and then you'll be witnesses. Not really before. You know, even though they had all those indisputable proofs of his resurrection, they needed more. How many of us have seen the risen Christ? Nobody. So what's our proof? What do we have as our witness, our guarantee of it? It's that we have Holy Spirit, that we can speak in tongues. Chapter 2. So, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, you know, they had been with Jesus Christ for 40 days. They had seen all these great proofs, indisputable proofs that he was the risen Christ. Yet before his ascension, Jesus Christ said, he gave them commandments, and one of those commandments was, tarry in Jerusalem until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and you'll be witnesses. And they spoke in tongues. The indisputable proofs were not enough. You know, there are many, many, many examples of people being eyewitnesses to stuff. And invariably, if two or three people witness the same thing and you question them, they'll all disagree. They all see something different. It wasn't enough that they were eyewitnesses. It wasn't enough that they had that experience of being with him for a period of time. There needed to be something greater. There had to be something better. And God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that they needed more. They needed a spiritual truth, not just a physical truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. You know, I grew up in a church where I didn't even know speaking in tongues existed. I didn't. And when I first went to fellowship and I heard people speaking in tongues, I said, what's that all about? And then, you know, they showed me in the Word. I said, wow, how come I never heard of this before? How come I never, you know, then of course later on there were Pentecostals and it got a lot more popular as it went along. And it was popular in some places with some people. but I had no idea. And how many Christians are there out in the world that still have no idea about speaking in tongues and what it's for? And so they think maybe I'm going to heaven, but they don't know. They have no proof other than feelings. You ever have feelings? Feelings are great, except they don't always tell you the truth, right? You know, how many times do people fall in love and then are not in love? Or how many times do people have a good feeling about something and lose everything they own because they played a hunch? You know, but speaking in tongues is truly a proof. In chapter 1, verse 19, there's a great and interesting verse. Or a couple of verses. It says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them, speaking of the natural man. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the whole creation, you know, is proof of God. Okay, so that man really has no excuse. But then it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's a perfect explanation of the world. You know, of the majority of people in the world, they reject God. And when they look at the world, well, you know, they talk about evolution, they talk about the Big Bang Theory, they talk about all this other stuff. and it's stupid. You know, there's a big excitement today because Trump is going to allow the guys to drill for oil again, right? And everybody's excited. I remember back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president, and they put out a study that said there's not enough natural gas. I think it would said we would have run out by 2000. And the more they the more they drill and the more they work, the more oil and gas they find. And then I read an article about this guy, and actually the Russians believe this, that they're not really fossil fuels, but the Earth is continually manufacturing oil and gas. And it seems to be, you know, a lot of times they'll abandon oil wells because they stop producing, and they'll come back to them 10 years later and they're full again. How does that happen? Well, more dinosaurs died and decomposed. You know, but man makes up things because he denies the truth of God. He doesn't want to admit that there's a God. He's smarter than God, although he's not. Let's go to Romans 8. How blessed are we that we know the truth? How blessed are we that he gave it to us in his word and showed us and gave us proof of who we are and what we have and what we have to look forward to. In verse 14 of chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's a pretty straightforward, simple, absolute statement of truth. You know, if we have spirit, we are children of God. We know we have spirit because we can speak in tongues. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage or slavery again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It bears witness with our spirit. And because his spirit bears witness with our spirit, we can be a witness to others of the truth of God's word and of the resurrection of Christ and all the promises of God. So that spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That spirit is our truth. It's our testimony that we have that spirit. If you go to Exodus 31, Exodus 31, the Old Testament speaks of a witness or a testimony also, and that's what I told you about, but I just thought we'd read it. Chapter 31, verse 18, and he, this is where Moses is up on the mount, and it says that he, God, gave unto Moses when he had made an end of communing with him upon the Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Two tables of testimony or witness. And it's really interesting. We're not going to go into all of it, but the tables or the tablets were God's testimony or witness to Israel that he was their God. And it represented God's standard for Israel to live by. You know, that was it. And it also reminded them of the covenant and of the agreement and the relationship they were to have with God and their responsibility. Then they took those tablets and they put it in the ark, right? And the ark is also referred to, if you go back and look in the Old Testament, as the ark of the testimony or the ark of the witness. And then they took the ark, and where did they put the ark? In the tabernacle. And so the tabernacle is also called the tabernacle of witness or testimony. That was their witness of what God had done for them. And that's a great thing, but our witness is so much greater. our witness is incredible. In the physical realm, it was given to Moses in a supernatural way. You know, God cut out the tablets, and God with his finger wrote the law on those tablets. How amazing. But once it was in the senses realm, it didn't have the same effect it should have. You know, it's the same thing with speaking in tongues. If you don't keep your mind on it, it'll drift away, won't it? I've known people that took the class and spoke in tongues and then talked to them years later and they don't even remember. Mm-hmm. You know, because they don't really get the greatness of it, or they didn't get it solid in their mind and in their heart. What a great thing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. God gave us Holy Spirit and he gave us speaking in tongues so that we would remember, so that we would be aware, so that we would, hold your place in 1 John and go to the Gospel of John first, 15. John 15 and verse 26. Jesus Christ speaking to the apostles before he's going to die, before he's going to be crucified. And he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And the word testify is the same word as witness. It'll be a witness of me, or testify of me. And ye shall all bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And of course, he explained that next. Now back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith or believing. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by the water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is the witness. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. Then the rest of that verse is omitted. And even in the other part, verse 7, Holy Ghost is omitted in the end of that verse. So it should read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and there are three that bear witness. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is a witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So that's the witness that he gave us. That's the proof. That's the token. That's the guarantee that he gave us, that we are who we are. You know, it said in Romans that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Then it goes on to say we will be glorified together with him. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. You know, nobody could ever talk you out of being who you are, right? If you know the truth, how could anybody tell you anything else? We are born again. We're going to heaven. We have the witness in ourselves. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. You know, that's pretty, you ever hear somebody say, well, you know, if they, as long as they're good people and they believe something. Yeah. Well, that's just not going to happen, right? Or some unbeliever dies and they say, well, he's in a better place. Well, he might be in a better place because the world might be better without him. Who knows? But But this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. What a great thing. And this verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, God hears us. It tells us in Ephesians that we're sealed with his Holy Spirit, right? It tells us in Corinthians also. We're sealed with his Holy Spirit. You know, it's our witness. It's our promise. You know, in the Old Testament, they had spirit, right? When people were anointed of God, prophets, kings that God chose, high priests, they received spirit as part of their anointing. But that spirit wasn't the spirit that we have. It wasn't eternal life spirit. It was spirit upon them. They could do the manifestations, except they couldn't speak in tongues, right? They couldn't speak in tongues and they couldn't interpret tongues. They could prophesy. Remember Saul, he received spirit and he prophesied. That's why when you read in Timothy and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. Think about that. And think about what that means to you. When you stand for God, you are a man or woman of God. And if you are going to do the good works of God, he will give you all that you need. He will give it to you. He will make sure that you have what you need to carry out the works of God. You know, because he loves each and every one of us. His desire for Israel was that they would be a nation of priests. They never rose up to that. But his desire for us, he put his spirit within us so that we could walk with him and talk with him and be bold and dynamic and powerful witnesses for him. That's why he did it. You know, obviously other reasons too. He wanted children. And so, man, what a great thing we got. And, you know, all we had to do was believe. All we had to do is say, yeah, I want that. What a great thing. And how we can just bless each other and bless other people because of what we know and what we have. What a great thing. So, Father God, we thank you for giving us that witness within us so that we can be true witnesses to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, and how that we have that spirit of truth in us and that we can walk with you and talk with you and that we can stand for you and be men and women of God. So we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.